Our scripture for this morning comes from Luke 2, verses 21 to 40. There will be some images on the PowerPoint. I'll be reading the scripture, and you can just follow along with the images. 40 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple for the ceremony of purification. A lamb was normally brought as an offering. But as Mary and Joseph were poor, they could only bring an offering of a pair of doves or pigeons. Living in Jerusalem was an old man called Simeon, who had been told by God that he would not die until he had seen the Savior God had promised to send. The Holy Spirit told Simeon to go into the temple. When he saw Mary, he took the baby in his arms and praised God, saying, "Lord, now I can die content, for I have seen the Savior of the world as you promised I would. He is the light that will shine upon the nations, and he will be the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and Mary stood there marveling at what was being said of Jesus. Simeon then warned Mary that Jesus would be rejected by many in Israel, but bring joy to many others. An 84-year-old widow called Anna was in the temple as well. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. She came up to Simeon, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, and began thanking God for sending the Savior of the world. Then she started telling everyone in Jerusalem who had been awaiting the coming of the Savior that the Messiah had finally arrived. Mary and Joseph returned home. And Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I'll invite Pastor Rose to come up. Will you pray with me? God, on this morning, as we come to worship in your temple, in your church, in your holy place, as we think about the way that Jesus was blessed to be a light to many nations, we are excited to celebrate the dedication of Leo and the life that you have given him. Be with Pastor Rose as she helps to illuminate this text to us. May we hear the goodness and the joy that this scripture has to offer us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
About 6 or 7 years ago, I was doing premarital counseling for a young couple, and they both had grown up in the church, and they both had parents that were very involved either in ministry in the church or in Christian school, and yet they weren't going to church. So in our premarital counseling, we talked about this. And it came out that one of them wanted to be a part of church, and the other one had really been hurt by the church, hurt by particular individuals in the church, and just didn't want to go to church. So we talked about this, and then we also, in premarital counseling, talk about children, the possibility of children. And so that came up, and the one that didn't really want to go to church anymore said to me, "Rose, I know that if we have children, I will really have to think hard about church, because I know that the person that I am today, the values that I have, the belief system that I have, came from being a part of a church family. Even though I didn't always like it, they helped form me. And I'm under no illusion that as a parent, that we will be able, as parents, we will be able to provide that. We'll do the best we can, but without a church family, we would have a really hard time being able to raise our children the way that we were raised. And I said, yeah, yes, that's true. And we talked some more about it, and we talked about how the things in the culture around us that are that teach children, whether it's on TV, whether it's when they're all their social media as they grow up, whether it's movies, whatever the influence that's all around them, how hard it is to try to teach them and lead them in a way that is countercultural, you know, so opposite of what the culture is teaching, how hard that is to do just by yourself. Even if you're teaching them about Jesus at home, how hard that is without the support of a family of God around you. And we talked about some characteristics that were important to them, like being generous instead of being selfish, or having good stewardship, taking care of your money and not spending it frivolously, or being interdependent, whereas our society teaches us to be independent and separate and kind of private. And no, God's way teaches us to be interdependent on the Spirit and on the body of Christ, to be a disciple and follow disciplines and practices that, you know, that Jesus teaches versus just doing everything you want for the pleasure and what feels good to you. It's really hard to do that by yourself. Now, it's been 6 or 7 years, and I am very grateful to God to say that this couple is in church and that they will be dedicating their child soon to God. And they're part of a small group, and they're back in fellowship with God and with the church. But it was very interesting to me to hear from someone that was kind of mad at the church for things that were legitimate that had hurt him and his family. But it was interesting to hear that he realized how important it is to be a part of a community of faith. Now, Mary and Joseph in our story this morning, if you think about them, I've never been a parent, of a newborn. I guess I'm a parent now, a stepmom, but I've never been a parent of a newborn. I don't know what the weight of that responsibility feels like. But I can imagine, because I'm sort of the parent of a congregation, and I feel the weight of that responsibility plenty. So I can imagine what that feels like, to just have that burden in your heart and wonder how you can do this. Here are Mary and Joseph. They had to travel to Bethlehem. They're away from their blood family, if you will. And they're trying to figure things out. And they're trying, she's a new mom. And all of that, you add the fact of the responsibility that this is the Messiah. And they were aware of that. And so I've heard new moms say, how do people do this? You know, the first time, how do you do this? And can you imagine Mary and Joseph being away from their family and that support network and having to some of those same questions, I'm sure. And so we find them here still following what they're teaching that they had been grounded and rooted in, that when the baby boy, especially the firstborn son is, you take them to the temple. So they took that 9-mile walk from Bethlehem back to Jerusalem to have Jesus dedicated. And as I was studying this passage today and the importance of being a part of that big story of God and that family of God and not trying to do this on your own, Rachel and Pablo, but having that community around you, I thought of three words, and they're the title of my sermon in your bulletin. The word remember came to me as I was studying, the word bless or blessing, and the word form. So I'm going to think about those three words. We're going to think about them together. So the first word is the word remember. What did Joseph and Mary need to remember? Well, you may not know this because this is not a part of Christian practice, but in Judaism back at that time, the main reason why Joseph and Mary took Jesus to dedicate him, to consecrate him, to present him in the temple was because all the way back in what we call Leviticus and Exodus, right, they had been told that they needed to do this as a way to remember the big story of God. Do you remember what was the big, and you can answer me, what was the big salvation story for the children of Israel. Coming out of Egypt. And what happened the night that they came out of Egypt? What happened? What was their story that they were supposed to tell over and over and over again? That they celebrated every year in what was called Passover. What was their big story? The angel of death came because the Pharaoh's heart was hard and all of the firstborn died. But the people that followed Yahweh sacrificed a lamb and put blood over the door frame. And the angel of death passed over and they were saved. And that was a part of their story. And in Exodus and Leviticus, we read that parents were to take their firstborn son, and actually every firstborn animal they were to sacrifice. Because the point is for them to retell and remember the story of their salvation. And so Joseph and Mary, by doing this, even though it was probably a hardship, we know they didn't have a lamb that they could sacrifice when they went. They had to bring some turtle doves because they were poor. But they're bringing, this is before the Magi came, right? So they're poor and they are kind of struggling, but they come because it's important for them. Even though Jesus is so small, he's not going to know exactly what's happening, right? And Leo's not going to remember this day, but he'll see pictures. And it's really for the parents to remember that, oh, we need to retell the story of God's salvation. For us as Christians, we retell the story of Jesus coming to the earth, of his life, of his death, of his resurrection. And just as the children of Israel were commanded to do this, always to do this with their firstborn, but also every year to retell the Passover story, so we too gather and we retell, we remember. And we remember, Pablo and Rachel, remember your salvation story, and so you can pass it on to your son and your daughter. You also, this is a reminder, as it was to Mary and Joseph, as it is to every parent that they dedicate their child. Oh, this baby belongs to me, but doesn't belong to me. Yes, I have a responsibility, but I offer, again, back to God, that gift that was given to me. So when we have these times of dedication, we remember God's big story of salvation. We remember that everything we have belongs to God. And we offer, Leo, we offer ourselves to God for his work in our life. So remember God's salvation story. The second word is bless. And, you know, how important it was for Mary and Joseph that those shepherds came and blessed them. And how important it will be when they go into the temple and are blessed by Simeon and Anna. And yes, Simeon and Anna maybe had some hard things to say to them. But they also, what a great encouragement to confirm within their spirit that yes, they were on the right path. And yes, Jesus was the Messiah. And yes, they are not alone. Yes, God is watching out. And even though they maybe don't have their blood family with them, the family of God is with them and interacting with them and caring for them. Their spirit family, you could say. And Simeon did pray and he did prophesy and he did speak truth and he did bless them. And Anna, I mean, imagine she had never been able to have her own children and she's just living in the temple. And what a delight it was for her to just love that baby and share with everybody else. And so she told everybody who this was. And so there might have been a party that day, right? As they all gathered around and as they celebrated together, just like we're going to have a party downstairs and celebrate together. So there is this blessing of not only Jesus, but also his family and an encouragement. And that is what we are supposed to be doing. We need to be blessing Pablo and Rachel and Leo and Maya. We need to be encouraging them. We need to be praying for them. We need to be coming alongside them. And supporting them in whatever way it takes. You know, when Jesus got older, he didn't have his own children, but what was one of the things he was known for doing? Blessing the little children. So how he had been blessed, he in turn blessed others. So Jesus even shows us that as an adult. Oh, the little children, we want to support them. We want to bless them. We want to support their parents and their family so that they too can be raised in the way of God. And that gets to the third point, which is really my most important one. Yes, we must remember. Yes, we bless. But the reason we're doing that is because we want to form, we want children to be formed and to have that formation to grow up in the way of Jesus. We know from reading all of Luke chapter 2, so after this story that we heard this morning, there's another story about Jesus' life when he was 12 years old. So he jumps from, you know, a tiny baby, a month or two old, to 12 years old. And it says that every year Joseph and Mary went back to Jerusalem for Passover, right? Remembering, telling the story. And so it says that when he was 12, his family went back like they did every year. And when Passover was done and they were traveling back, in this case to Nazareth, when they were traveling home, at the end of the first day of traveling, Mary and Joseph realized, Jesus isn't with us. Now, it's a little hard for us to imagine, perhaps, that you would drive a whole day somewhere and realize, you know, oh, we forgot the baby, or oh, we forgot the 12-year-old. It'd be a little hard, right? But remember, this is like a community. At this point, they're living back in their hometown. They have their family, their neighbors. You know, it's everybody's being pilgrims and going together. So I'm sure Jesus had friends that he was playing with and hanging out with. And so, wait a minute. Wait, he's not with you, Pam? He's not with you, Mark? Dawn, he's not with you? Where is Jesus? Okay, so then, okay, we had one day's journey out. Now we have to take one day's journey back. And where do they find Jesus? They find him in the temple. And he's talking with the teachers of the law. And they're talking with him and asking him questions. And they're being surprised by everything that he knows. Why? Because he has been formed from little up. Mary and Joseph didn't just say, well, he's the son of God. We don't have to work. We're just going to focus on our other children. No, no, no. He had been being trained in the law and the prophets. And he knew this stuff. And he had insight. He was still 12, however, and he didn't quite understand that it was going to worry his mother and father. And it says that Mary was like, and Joseph said, what are you doing? They were not happy with him. But he thought he was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. He didn't realize probably that he had been worrying them. But he had been being formed, is my point, all along the way, so much so that he could, at 12 years old, have really important conversations with the teachers of the law back in the temple. Joseph and Mary, I'm sure, grew up with what it says in Deuteronomy 6 that you are supposed to do. I'm sure that this was a part of their way of life. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And keep all these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. This is the important part that Mary and Joseph would have been doing. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're away, when you lie down at night, when you get up in the morning. Bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This was a part of their culture. This was a part of their way of life. That didn't matter where you were, you could talk about your faith. You could tell the stories. And that's what we want you to do, Pavel and Rachel, to be able to talk to your kids any old time. I had the, on Friday night, I babysat Virginia Lo and Mary. And you know, you get a lot of insight into parents when you take care of their small children. But as we, as it was time to go to bed, I mean, bedtime takes a long time at their house, but you know, because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of praying and singing, a lot of singing and stories that need to take place. At least if I'm babysitting, I don't really know what happens when mom and dad are at home. But it was such a blessing to me to hear them singing. And Evie didn't sing this morning, but she was singing her little heart out. Hark the herald angels sing. You know, all these songs. Because this is a part of what they do every day. This is a part of their routine. Of knowing that you talk to God before you go to bed. And just built into their way of life. And that's what I'm sure Joseph and Mary did for Jesus. It was built in to his way of life. To be taught. To be instructed. There's so many things that parents can do. But remember my story from the beginning. There's so many things that all of us do. Every time we gather, the children see you put money in the offering. What does that teach them? Oh, we give back to God. That's formation. They're being formed. What does it teach them that we spend time together downstairs eating together? What does it teach them when they realize it's okay for them to get up and sing and they don't have to be perfect? There's all these things that we are helping to form in them as a community. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher to do that. Trust me. Those little people downstairs, when we're going through the line, how you react to them, how you respond to them, they are learning, for good or for bad, they're learning what it means to be a part of God's family. And so it's so important that we, when they see us take communion and we teach them about what that means, when they see us, we tell them the story. When they see us, we do foot washing together once a year downstairs, and we teach them about that. All of those things are forming them. As they get a little older, you know, Ronick has a phone. You could text him, ask him how his competition went. When you begin to take an interest in our children, it's a way to form them in the faith. When you share your stories with them, your struggles or your questions, or when you pray for them, it's a way that they are formed. So remember the big story of God's salvation. Bless our children and our young families and encourage them and pray for them and partner with them. And we, our desire is that they would be formed as disciples in the way of Jesus. Twice in Luke chapter 2, both in verse 40 and in verse 57, it says this about Jesus. So after they took him back from presenting him in the temple, it says, Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And then after the little episode in the temple when he was 12, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. So it's Luke is telling us that Jesus had to grow up too, and that in his spirit and in his physical body, he needed to mature in his mind, and he needed that faith community around him as a part of that. Jesus was God, but he was also human. And so we, how much more do we need to support these families among us? So not just Leo's family, but supporting Daryl with Everly and supporting... Who am I missing? Just all of our young families, supporting them. But we today especially want to dedicate Leo to God. So I'll just ask if you would pray with me, and then I'll invite Danilo to come forward for the dedication. Thank you, God, that you created us to be in community, that you desire to be in relationship with us, and you desire us to be in your body in relationship with one another. Thank you for the way you created families and the way that you designed your church to support and care and love and walk alongside and many times be Jesus with skin on for those among us. Help us, God, to remember your big salvation story and how that plays out in our lives. Help us to tell our children. God, we desire to bless our young families and to encourage our children. We desire them to be formed in the way of Jesus. Show each of us individually what our part is in that. Simeon and Anna were old, and yet they took a part when your spirit prompted them. Help us to hear your voice and to know what our part is in forming and blessing our children. In Jesus' name, amen.